Good morning, and welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined, as always, by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
I'm well. We've been having the most lovely, distracting weather lately.
Oh, it's so nice.
It makes me want to do nothing.
I know. And to be dry while you do it.
Ideal.
Oh, no damp.
The sound quality coming out of my headphones is weird, so I feel like I'm talking in a tin can.
Oh, I don't have headphones because I'm not
running
the board, so I can't tell. I'm sorry.
You could have headphones.
Oh, yeah.
Should you want them.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But no, I don't need them.
Well, I'm wondering what you've been cooking.
Let's see. Well, do you remember I made those, I don't even know what you call them, but those dumplings, those lazy dumplings?
Yes.
Where you just put gobs of meat in a hot fry pan and then you squish a wonton on top of them and the meat is browned and you flip them over and they're cooked and they're good. And I really liked those because they were so easy, and I think they even tasted better than wontons because the meat is a little browned, which is really good flavor. So there was this recipe that's been floating around the internet, and it's called dumpling lasagna.
What?
It doesn't sound great, but all it is kind of...
What's the difference? Well, lasagna is... Oh, lasagna. I'm thinking ravioli.
Yeah, no.
Dumplings.
Oh, yeah. So it's just sort of a lazy dumpling thing, just like that other pan squishy fried thing was a lazy dumpling method. So you have a pan and you put some dumpling, grease it, put some dumpling meat down, dumpling mixture, then put like wontons, layer of wontons, meat mixture, layer of wontons, meat mixture, layer of wontons. And then you put about a third of a cup of water in there and cover it tightly and cook it, but also steam it in the oven. And so I did that, and it tastes good, but eating it, it was like super slippery. And there's textures that you avoid.
We all have them.
And when it's slippery, but it's not just the texture eating it. It wasn't really the texture eating it. It was just trying to get it to your mouth, because the layers of wontons would just, they were like evasive. It was just really, really, really hard to eat. And so I'm not making that again.
That one has had its chance. Oh, my gosh.
So rather than like with lasagna, the layers stick together, these just slid apart, and they were very active. So that's what the problem was.
Like catching your fish for your dinner.
Yeah.
Fishing for that. Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't have too much to report. Not that I haven't been cooking, but that I cannot remember what I've been cooking. But last night...
The sun burnt it out of your brain.
I made we kind of went down the memory lane about Texas, and I had some brisket.
Oh,
I had
yeah?
some barbecue brisket. So I just made the Texas-style brisket sandwich, which is just... whatever kind of bun you're going to put it in. I happen mm-hmm. to have those pretzel buns.
Oh, numb.
And they need to be warm and they need to be soft. Mm-hmm. They can't be toasted like normal people would have them, I think.
Yeah.
They need to be soft. And the thinnest little skim of mayonnaise, which may or may not be de rigueur, but it's what I do.
Okay.
And then... brisket, and the brisket that I get, I don't do brisket anymore. I'm cooking for one or two.
Yeah,
it's just not worth it. But there are some fancy schmancy ranchers out there doing a really good job with brisket. And it is barbecue brisket, and it is seasoned, but it's not the soupy, saucy kind. And so it's kind of... it's moist, but
the
it's
slicey
not...
The slicey kind?
Yeah. It's already... sliced. It's almost like a pulled pork sort okay. of texture. And in Texas, if you ordered a brisket sandwich, you would often get a soft bun. The brisket, if you want to put sauce on it, it's on a table in a squirt bottle, but it doesn't come sauced. Dill pickles and thick sliced onions, and okay. that's it.
It sounds
and
really good.
It is really good. It's really ridiculously
and
good.
And it's such a production to make a smoked brisket, you know?
It's so
the brining,
good.
Yeah, but it's just, it takes so long.
Yeah.
And this is quite a few years ago. I pretty much gave up on that exact same thing, cooking, barbecuing brisket, just because I was making a pastrami. So there's so many steps. There's brining and the dry rub.
What were you thinking?
I know. So I was just going all out on Reuben's. I made the pumpernickel bread. I didn't make the sauerkraut because I made some sauerkraut once that I really think would have killed all of them. And I, I don't want to, but I had some fresh sauerkraut. And then I didn't make the cheese, but I had good cheese. And I made the mayonnaise that I uh-huh. made the dressing with and I made the pickles. So,
holy
I mean, I made,
cow.
I know, right, a lot of stuff. So I had a egg-shaped smoker. And so it took about a week, the brining and the spices and everything. And then, so I had a bunch of people over and it was a big honking brisket. And the smoking took, I mean, like 17 hours, I think. It was so long. And so it was dinner time. And I'd been up pretty much all night the night before. And I sliced and I sliced and I sliced. And that thing had to be 90% fat. I mean, I have photos of it. It was so ridiculous. It was just, and it was so funny because at one point I'm slicing, slicing, slicing. And this little eye of meat comes through the fat. But then it disappears. It was just teasing me like there was going to be meat. And so everybody had to pretend because there was so little meat. Everybody had to pretend, oh, I'm so full. You know? They do when they're being so
you
polite.
Had
oh,
polite
I couldn't.
Friends.
I know. I couldn't possibly. You know.
Oh my god.
But it was so hilarious,
what
and it was
a
so
drag.
Sad. It was just tragic.
Oh.
So.
There is nothing like, barbecue brisket if somebody will do it for you.
Yeah.
Or you live in Texas.
Yeah.
We actually have people here who do a really good job.
Yeah.
Guys with mobile.
Carts,
yeah.
Food carts, yeah.
And I've tasted some really good brisket. Our mutual friend Norma Hernandez used to have epic birthday parties at her place, and they would build, they'd be pig roasts, but there'd always be brisket too.
Yeah.
So good.
I remember once when everything caught fire so bad. I mean, it just went up and everybody's yelling, move your cars, move your cars. It was like that bad. Oh, it was really something.
Turned out to be delicious, I think.
Cajun.
Yeah, there you go.
No longer Puerto Rican.
Well, I also did an artichoke last night, which I have not done that for so long.
Yeah.
He really enjoyed it.
Dale loves them.
Steamed slow forever the whole time I was doing everything else. And then I just put it in a dish and gave it to him with a little ramekin of horseradish mayo and a little ramekin of garlic butter.
That's so funny.
And he likes to dip his buttered artichoke leaf in the mayonnaise. So, but he butters his mayonnaise.
Butters his cheese. But that's so funny because Dale likes essentially the same thing, but you're like so much fancier than I am because I just give him mayo and butter. But that's what he likes,
yeah.
You know?
Well, because that's what makes it.
Yeah. I might try your super special garlic and horseradish.
It's so hard. You have to stir the horseradish into the mayo and then put it in something. As I was like scraping it out of a little mixing bowl into a ramekin, I'm like, why? I do the dishes. Why am I doing that? Anyway, artichokes. It was like I rediscovered it. And it was because somebody else did my grocery shopping for me. And if you order groceries online, you see the pictures of everything that's available. And I went, oh, artichoke. I bet I've seen it at the store a million times and there it didn't register, but see a little picture of it on my screen. I'm like, oh, I'll have one of those.
And I do the same thing. I'll do the pickup with the groceries just because it saves so much time. And I think it's great. But then every once in a while, and this happened to me just yesterday. It's so funny that you bring it up. I ordered frozen spinach, but I got glazed ginger carrots.
What? What? Did you forget no substitutes?
No, I don't know what it was. No, there was two things of spinach because I needed three.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then one of ginger glazed ginger carrots. And I thought that was just so funny. It's just so... The package didn't look anything like it or anything,
oh,
but now I get to try glazed ginger carrots.
Well,
you know?
it sounds kind of good, really.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But what about your third package of spinach?
Yeah, I know.
What were you going to make?
Just crustless quiche.
Oh yeah, yum.
And it takes a lot of spinach.
Yes,
but I like spinach a lot, so.
Yeah, and I don't make quiche hardly ever. I can't remember the last time, but I love having frozen spinach in the freezer because it's really adaptable.
It's so cheap.
Yeah.
And it's just, I eat a lot of spinach. I was not first in line when eyeballs were handed out, specifically retinas. And there's things that aren't isolated in supplement form that are in, specifically spinach and kale. There's more in kale, but I like spinach more than I like kale. And so pretty much, you know, the last 35 years has been me trying to eat a lot of spinach. And I never hated it. You know, I never got tired of it in a way that I just couldn't look at it, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so it's just always different spinach things. I like quiche because it's a lot creamier than a frittata. I mean, there's more than double the amount of eggs in a frittata.
Right.
And that's great if you're pumping iron. But I mean, I just don't have to worry that much about protein. But I really like the creaminess of a quiche. And so that's really a go-to, and it freezes just fine.
Yeah.
So cut it up in squares and freeze it.
Yum.
And that cutting up in squares things reminds me. So I get in ruts. You have to too, don't you? Cooking
oh my
ruts?
God,
oh.
All the time.
And I think
it's why I can't think of something to talk to you about, because I probably mentioned it 150 times already. And I am not even apologetic about that, because I feed somebody, mm-hmm. so that counts.
Mm-hmm.
And B, everyone who listens to this show or not gets in ruts about cooking.
Yeah.
It just is what happens. We have a lot of other stuff on our plate, mm-hmm. besides dinner.
And I think it's I think that you and I are lucky because we like to cook, but I think the majority of people out there don't like to cook.
Yes, or don't know how to cook.
And it has to be 20 times worse for them,
uh-huh.
you know? Seriously, just that mind-numbing decision-making process of what to eat every day.
Well, I'll think of all the meal services that you can get,
yes,
you know what I
yes.
mean, where you don't have to do anything but have a microwave. There's a reason for that.
Yes, yes. And and they're great if they work for you. But for me, I like to cook, and I want to cook. I want to eat home-cooked meals, you know, as much as I can. And so a strategy that has worked really, really well for me is just the freezer, and you know that.
Yes.
So if I'm...
You should say freezers.
Okay, freezers.
Come on. We all know this about you. Everyone knows this about you.
Linda has a lot of freezers.
But you have a lot of meals ready to eat.
Well, it's if I make something, I make a decent amount of it, you know? So if I'm making pot roast, I choose a large chuck roast, and then we have it. And probably Dale's not going to want to eat it 4 days in a row. I mean, and I understand that. So I'll freeze half of it at least, you know? And then what happens is then the next night we can have, you know, black bean soup, because that's in the freezer. I made it, you know, a month ago when I was going to make it for dinner, but instead I made like, you know, 10 quarts of it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then it's in the freezer. It's a meal that I made. So it's economical, but it's also what we like. And we're not wasting gas to go pick something up or,
yeah.
you know, and so the freezer works really well for me. And I'm always shocked at what will freeze. It's so many more things than you would think.
I've learned a lot about what will freeze from you.
Yeah. Mayonnaise, not so much.
Oh, the whole thing about that just gives me pause. Frozen mayonnaise. I would like to take a quick second and remind everybody that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. Both fine organizations are in possession of websites that you should be visiting regularly, KMUN.org, NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. There's lots of interesting, useful, and fascinating information on both of those websites. Just go there. Do yourself a favor. So I was just wondering, are there any food holidays coming up? I don't think so.
Is 4th of July the next one?
I guess. Is that a food holiday? It's picnic, huh?
Well, Yule Gibbons would say Arbor Day is a food holiday.
Yule Gibbons lives on. Wow.
Yeah, no, I think that the 4th, when's Memorial Day?
It's before the 4th of July. Yeah. Memorial Day is the last weekend, usually in May.
A lot of people have picnics for that. So those, the summer holidays, it's just the picnic food, you
it's
know?
It's the picnics.
Yeah.
That's great. Picnic food. I made deviled eggs to go with the brisket sandwich last night.
Man.
And an artichoke.
No wonder you're married.
I'm married because I'm lucky. That's why.
I mean, that just sounds so great. Everybody loves deviled eggs.
Yeah. And I had not given Tom... It was not an egg breakfast day. It was a salmon bagel day. So it was cool to have an egg at my disposal to put on the plate last night.
They're so good.
Oh,
I make deviled eggs, I'll usually make a decent amount of them, mostly because Dale gets all twirly-eyed and comes at him with two hands, you know, two fists in the deviled eggs. But I make the filling in the food processor rather than just with a fork, and it just ends up really, really creamy.
It's so creamy, and you can pipe it really easily if you're going to do a lot of them.
And just the piping is only secondary. It's just the texture of it. It's just really luxurious. And that works really, really well for me.
Yeah. I'm doing one deviled egg at a time.
Yeah, so you probably
I do it with a fork in a bowl, a little tiny bit of horseradish, a little tiny bit of Dijon, tablespoon of mayonnaise, some paprika, some black pepper. That's it. Simple. I have not ever... You know, when I used to do buffets and that kind of thing, deviled eggs were always the first thing to go.
Yeah, yep. No matter what the occasion. Yeah.
And it's not
people
something I would choose first.
Yeah. Like them.
I like them too, but not well enough to make myself one.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know. I love egg salad.
Yeah.
That's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I'm just thrilled about deviled eggs because they're so easy peasy to make for how much they tickle somebody who gets one. You know?
Exactly. It's not, oh, I love this beef Wellington. Well, you should. Or a brisket. I took a week. Yeah, it's not that. Yeah. Hey, you know what? I was thinking, can I talk a little bit about barbecued ribs?
Yes.
Grilled ribs. Okay. So just because, you know, we said the words 4th of July and Memorial Day and picnic. So I learned a long time ago how to make good grilled ribs. So by grilled, I mean I'm not making them on a smoker because I'm not taking, you know, many, many hours. But they do take about an hour and a half. I make mine on a propane gas grill, but just any kind of grill would work. But you have to be able to get a low heat. And the thing about my propane grill is it has a thermometer, so I can make sure that my temperature is under 250. So my grill has four knobs. Four burners. And so I just run two at a time. Two of them are off and two are on low. So it's not a real hot thing that happens. So this is what I do. I buy spare ribs. No, that's a lie. I buy baby back ribs. And I usually get mine at the restaurant store. And then it's a cryovac pack of three. And I do three at once just because they go in the freezer. And then they freeze just fine. So, but you would take a rack of baby back ribs. And then a lot of people pull that silver skin off, but I don't because I find that it keeps the meat. Oh, good Lord. That's meat moist in one word. It keeps
it's so efficient.
The meat. It keeps the meat. And it's not chewy or anything. It's just not. It's not a non-digestible, non-chewy silver skin. So I leave it on. And so I rub oil, just like vegetable oils. I don't use olive oil on the grill, but canola oil, just some kind of a neutral flavored oil on it. And then I just sprinkle a little bit of seasoned salt, like just a brand name. There's a bunch of different brand names, but just not enough that it's too salty. I actually use less than I normally would, just because even though that thing is pretty thick, the majority of it is bone, so you don't want your meat to be oversalted. And then I put it on the grill. So I put it kind of diagonal across the grill, so it's not just sitting over, you know, straight over one burner or anything like that. And I close the lid and I watch the temperature, and I want it between 225 and 250. So I keep it there 15 minutes, and then I flip it 15 minutes, and then I flip it, but I move it end to end, you know, so that if there's a hot spot, 15 minutes, same thing, 15 minutes. And I just keep flipping it every 15. You can even go 20 minutes until it's been about an hour and a half, and then I'll check the temperature of the meat. So what I do is I have a digital thermometer, and I don't let it touch any bone. I stick it in a meaty part, and I want it to be about 180, 188 in that area. And when that happens, it's done. And then what I do is I just take any barbecue sauce that I love, and I brush it on one side, brush it on the other, let it sit in the cooker, lid down for 5 minutes, and then brush it on one side, brush it another again, and let it sit in the cooker, lid down for 5 minutes. And that makes just that pretty lacquer on it that also tastes really good. And that's how I do my ribs. If you don't have a digital thermometer, well, go buy one. But then also,
they aren't expensive.
Yeah, when you lift up the rack of ribs with your tongs in the middle, they are quite floppy, and they'll be quite floppy when they're done. The silver skin holds them together, but they're quite floppy. And then I forgot to mention one thing at the very beginning, is I do rinse the ribs just a little bit. I'm not like running them under endless water, but I rinse them a little bit, and I pat them very dry with paper towels before I add the oil and then the seasoned salt. And that's how I make ribs, and I really like them. Now, I made you ribs once, and they weren't good, but that's because there was all kinds of weird stuff going on, and I just bought a grill, and it's the first time I ever used it.
So. I don't even remember that they weren't good.
Oh, it was like 15 years ago.
Oh, well, I can't remember what happened yesterday, so I'm absolved.
Oh,
but I don't remember ever getting bad food from you.
Oh,
never.
Thank you.
Never.
Well, they weren't as good as they could have been.
I was thinking of you yesterday as I was getting bagels out of the freezer. We order 3 dozen bagels at a time, and then, you know, when I'm like halfway through the last dozen, I order more because it's a standard breakfast thing at least once a week. Tom has something on a bagel. And but when they come home from the bakery, they're just in a bag of a dozen.
Okay.
And we put them in little Ziplocs that we use over and over again for our bagels. But some of my Ziplocs will say almond biscotti or something on them. And I fondly remember that I ate all those almond biscotti you baked.
Thank you.
So good.
They look like ribs.
They kind of do. They look nothing like a bagel. But there is nothing better with a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
Nothing. Yeah. Any kind of coffee. Some sorts of treats for me, like a little square of really dark chocolate, is the thing to have with an espresso.
Yeah.
But an almond biscotti, any kind of coffee, doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Indiscriminate.
Those cagey Italians, I swear.
Cagey.
They know how to eat and drink. We could be taking lessons. We've been trying to take lessons for years.
Yeah.
Golly. Well, new stuff in season. I'm trying to think.
That's so funny. Okay, lettuce. I got the funniest text just before I came in the door here from my friend Carol. She says, I have a flock of yellow crown sparrows for sale. And I'm like, really? How much? And she's like, oh, free, because I want to have lettuce this year. So every year they remember where she plants it, and they wipe it out. And then she waits a couple days and she replants it. And then they, you know, think they've already had it, so they go away.
Yeah.
But this year she's selling them. So if anybody
I have
some,
lots. Thank
some,
you.
Some yellow crown
I'm not
sparrows.
I'm not a customer. I have plenty. I've been astounded at it's just the time of year. I walk around the yard with my Merlin app on that identifies birds by their sound. And it's just crazy. In like 5 minutes or less, there will be like 15, 16, 17 different kinds of birds hanging around in the trees. She feeds them lettuce seed. That's good to know.
I know, that's so funny. I have a flock of birds for sale. Oh, really? She's so funny. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, yipes.
So I interrupted you. You were talking about things that are in season.
Oh, well, I was just trying to think if there was something new that because I just got a big box of produce yesterday, but I don't think it was anything particularly. I got cauliflower, broccoli, radishes. There's getting to be a choice of kinds of radish lately. What else? Green onions, an artichoke, two colors of carrots. I love when there gets to be red carrots, purple carrots, yellow carrots, and white carrots. I got orange and purple yesterday, so I told Tom to look for that soon. A nice side order of bruised things, because purple and orange, I don't know, if I mix those carrots together, it'll be uniquely unappealing. Glazed in butter.
Ooh. I did that with a bunch of different colored pasta once. I boiled it up and it was just gray brown.
Yeah. Yummy. So delicious.
Oopsie.
Oh, man. Yeah, I can't think of, I mean, it's just a little, when I'm looking at, you know, the things that are really, really local, we're just a little ahead of all of the beautiful salad greens that come in mixes that come from, you know, your neighborhood. All of those early things. I see some snap peas, local snap peas.
Did I miss asparagus or has it not been yet?
No, I got some.
Okay.
I got some yesterday. I'm trying to think where it came from. I didn't see its passport.
Okay.
Someone else picked it out for me, but they picked it out from a place that is famous for local food. So I'm guessing that maybe it could be regional as opposed to California or Mexico, all of which grow very fine asparagus. I am not disparaging that. I just feel sorry for the produce when it has to travel, because I don't really like to travel that much anymore on a plane or in a truck.
You know, I make asparagus soup, but I've never made an asparagus soup that I love. I think this year I'm going to try to figure out how I can make it more asparagus flavored.
Who could we look to for a really perfect recipe for that? I'm trying to think. I don't know that.
Maybe Alice Waters, James Beard.
Yeah, maybe Alice. Maybe, what's his name? Olengani.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yotam. I love the way that he thinks about seasoning things that I would never think of, you know.
Yeah.
I look to his recipes for that a lot. What are you putting on that, Yotam?
Yeah, yeah, they always just kind of taste like, my asparagus soup just always kind of tastes like cream soup. It just doesn't have enough asparagus flavor. That's the problem.
Yeah. Huh. I don't know what to say. I have no suggestions. I do have to mention that we're almost out of time.
Aww.
I know. And once again, quickly, before Linda sings us out, I want to say on behalf of both of us, thank you so much for your support during Pledge Drive. You were quite lovely.
Yes. Thank you very much. Ready?
Yeah.
Red pepper, yellow pepper, green pepper. Red light, yellow light, green light. I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, my Fibonacci broccoli. I'm driving a bushel of corn home. Oh, corn, I can't wait for corn, Marianne.
It's almost. Thanks, everybody. Thanks, Linda.
Thank you very much. See you next time.
Support for this program comes in part from the Astoria Co-op, an independent grocery store and deli owned by the people who shop there. The co-op welcomes everyone with no membership required, offering fresh produce delivered from nearby farmers, prepared foods, and local organic products. Open daily from 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. on Marine Drive. More information at astoria.coop.
You're listening to KMUN Astoria 91.9 FM and KTCP Tillamook 89.5, streaming at KMUN.org. Today's weather, mostly cloudy, rain possible later this afternoon going into the evening. Highs in the mid-60s. It's Monday, April 20th. Music is next on KMUN. It's 10 o'clock.